On today's show, we recap the Cubs taking 2 out of 3 from the Brewers, catch up on news and notes, heading into the 4-game series with the Dodgers, and discuss the possibility of trading Ian Happ. That's all ahead on this edition of Locked On Cubs. Let's see if we can fire the sounder this time.
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Cubs your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast, and we are excited to be with you today alongside Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. The Cubs win a series in Milwaukee over the Brewers. A lot to discuss from this ball game. I know we were both excited, Sam, and let's get right into it.
Why is it always a hesitation for the YouTube viewers on the intro? You hit it, and then it comes, and then you hit it again.
I click the button, and I don't know. I'm just trying to get used to the behind-the-scenes aspects. I do click it. Nothing happens. Then there's kind of a hesitation. Then it finally goes the second time.
Yeah, let's fix it. I just want to say your hair, for people that are listening audio only, Matt got a haircut, and he looks outstanding.
Thank you. Okay?
And speaking of outstanding, the Chicago Cubs went into American Family Whatever Field and took 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. And the opening game was an absolute heartbreaker. It ruined my July 4th. They came back, comeback win yesterday, Matt. And then today, Corbin Burnes on the mound. I wonder what the percentage is. I wonder what the percentage is, Matt, when Corbin Burnes and Josh Hader both pitch on the same day, what the Milwaukee Brewers record is. I bet you their win percentage is probably at least 80%. And the Cubs came back from 1-0 down against Brad Boxberger to tie with a Christopher Morel triple and then a big RBI single by the white hot Rafael Ortega. And then in the ninth inning, it was your boy. It was your boy. P.J. Higgins with a clutch base hit to right field. And David Robertson, what he couldn't do on Monday, he does today, shuts the door. The Cubs, Matt, have won 4 straight series. Do you know who they've played in those 4 games?
The 4 series?
Excuse me, 4 series. Sorry.
The Cardinals.
Correct.
The Reds.
Correct.
The Red Sox.
Correct.
The Brewers.
The 3 of those 4 teams are going to be headed to the postseason this year, most likely, and we've beat them. And next on the list, we go to Dodger land, where your buddy Mark Leiter Jr. will be taking the bump. But we'll talk about that later on. Great win. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was one of the most exciting games of the year. You know, when Higgins got that hit in the ninth inning, I was up out of my seat. I was actually over at my dad's. He predicted the hit. He said, Higgins is going to get a base hit right here. And he did exactly that.
Shout out Frank Cozy.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like I was on the ground floor with Higgins. Although it didn't take too much. I mean, when he got called up, he was hitting over 400, literally, in AAA. He was, had a decent showing last year. So I was excited about what he could do offensively. I didn't know about him as much as a catcher. But for him to come up clutch there is a huge moment in his season. You know, how many opportunities will a guy like that get? I mean, hopefully more, but we'll see. And just as you said, Sam, 4 straight series victories. The Cubs have won 8 out of their last 12, 3 of the 4 against good teams. So a lot to be encouraged about there. But that's been the story of the season at times. You know, are the Cubs that far, so to speak? And but even glimpses like today, can we just enjoy today? Yes.
Right. And look, if this,
I feel like I was talking loudly there.
You look fantastic. If I were to say this again, this will be the second time I mentioned on the show, and it'll probably be 2 of 10 times. If the Cubs rotation was just semi-healthy, they'd be a competitive club. Okay. They would be. They're not. It is what it is. Let's give a little bit of credit to Adrian Sampson.
A ton of credit.
He has come up here, and he, you know, with all due respect, I don't like, you know, calling somebody a journeyman sounds like an insult, but most of us would kill to be journeyman in the big leagues. But he is a journeyman pitcher, And this year he's come up for the Cubs and he's looked really good, even in his start against the, I think it was the Red Sox last Friday in that comeback victory. He gave up some runs early and then settled in. He's been really good, and he was really good today. And the Cubs pitchers just kind of dominated the Brewers hitters. Hendricks gave up that 2-run homer to Rowdy Tellez, but Steele was dominant. Swarmer came in, pitched well until he walked the country, and then today Adrian Sampson. So it was a really good outing by him. And I agree with you. I don't think the Cubs are as far as a lot of people think they are. They just got to get guys back like Stroman and have him produce so you could go into the year and know what you need to get. You know what I mean? And I do think, and we'll talk about this later on, hopefully he'll be back soon, but you know, Hendricks now is on the IL. We talked about that yesterday a little bit. We had found out about that, and Bodie's hurt. Like, there's a lot of injuries on this team, but that should not damper what I thought was the best win of the season. We've played that game hundreds of times, it feels like, against the Brewers and always come out on the wrong end. And by the way, Matt, one more thing for you. Little stat of the week, Wednesday, stat of the day. Come up with a creative name for this segment. The Wednesday, the wacky Wednesday, something, something of the week. I don't know. You're a teacher. Figure it out.
I'll draft something up.
The Chicago Cubs this year are 7-6 versus the Milwaukee Brewers and 5-5 versus the St. Louis Cardinals. I find that kind of interesting.
Hmm.
And they're really bad against the Pirates.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, Sampson was fantastic. One run on 4 hits with no walks and 5 Ks and 5 2/3. He could be bagging groceries next week for all we know.
He's
been really good.
No, and the only thing he's going to be bagging is he's going to be pitching at Wrigley Field against the Mets next week.
There you go. I'm excited to see the Mets. And how about in the top of the 8th, Sam? Chris Morel, a triple off the wall. Rafi Ortega, RBI single to score him.
Yeah, I
mentioned
that.
So there was a lot of clutch hitting.
Finally. No, but Morel looked really good today. He also, off a hater, hit a 405-foot flyout to center field. And by the way, I just want to say, and then I'll take it to you. We can move on. That catch by Keston Hira on P.J. Higgins in the middle of that game. Now, I thought Brian Anderson, who's one of the best in the business, he's the Brewers announcer, described this perfectly. That was, first of all, one of the best catches I've seen this year.
Crazy.
I don't think people
catch.
I mean, he literally slammed into the wall before he caught it. A good left fielder doesn't make that catch because they know they're going to hit the wall and they play it off the wall. He made that catch almost because of his ignorance, if you will, of
he just
of
kept
not,
going.
Yeah, he just literally kept going into the wall and he made a catch. And the whole day as I was doing some other stuff, I was like, you know what, another unlucky play. We're going to lose this and this. But we didn't. We won. Here's to you.
And then a couple other notes from this game. Also, my guy number 2, Alfonso Rivas, 2-for-3 today. And then, as you mentioned already, Martin, Givens, and Robertson really strong out of the pen. Are those 3 guys going to be on the team August 2nd? Maybe not. Maybe that's okay. But they pitched really well today. The other thing I wanted to say, Sam, in this first segment.
Wow.
Was what is with the Brewers crowds? First of all, the stadium is like 200 degrees. Apparently, there's no AC. Apparently, the roof leaks. So that's a problem. If you're going to play in an indoor stadium, there should probably not be precipitation that seeps through. And you should probably invest it in AC or heating or both since they created the stadium back in 02. And then where are the fans? Do we need to bring in the Lockdown Brewers host, who, by the way, said Monday's win, and I guess you told me on the phone earlier, Brian Anderson said something similar. Monday's win was one of the biggest in Brewers history. Please, you shouldn't lose to this Cubs team 2 out of 3. And also, how is it my problem that that's one of your biggest wins? And where are the fans? So many empty seats. This is a first place club.
As there's a ground ball to Wisdom, he's going to have time. We'll make the play. We'll go to the 5th. Cubs lead 3-2.
Well, that will do it for the first segment of our show. Next segment, we're going to get to the news and notes heading into a 4-gamer in L.A. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about Blue Nile. Make your engagement moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Cubs listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. Use the code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece of wedding bling. Go to BlueNile.com today and use the code LOCKEDON. Sam, a lot of news and notes to get to with these Cubs. You know, during our show yesterday, the news broke about Hendricks, and then today he was placed on the IL. Will likely return after the break, but there's a lot of roster things to get through heading into this four-game finale in the trip.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. So you're not gonna see Hendricks until after the All-Star break, which is actually a little bit concerning, because it's the same thing that had him skip a start and miss like a large amount of time earlier in the year, and he was throwing the ball pretty good. The next time Kyle Hendricks throws the ball well, we're probably going to talk about his trade value. I don't think the Cubs are going to trade him. I think this is going to hurt it even more, but I just don't. You know, we're going to talk about Happ in a little bit, but I just don't think the Cubs are going to trade him, and this latest injury supports that. Mm-hmm. The Cubs should, Matt, they should get at least one of Stroman and Smiley back this weekend, hopefully both, because right now it looks like it's lighter tomorrow night, Thompson, and then it's going to be undecided. One of those is going to be Steele, obviously. So hopefully Stroman or Smiley will make that fourth start. Obviously, it's going to be an extremely difficult series in LA, yeah. Against I think they got Gonsolin going tomorrow, is the one of the ERA leaders in all the land. They got Kershaw, they got Arias. I mean, all these guys just breed pitching.
They're loaded.
You go to the Dodgers with a 4-5 ERA and mediocre stuff, and you come out, you're Tom Seaver. I mean, these guys, they take pitchers and they groom them in the stars, so it'll be a tough week. But, tough weekend. But, yeah, you can laugh. It's our show.
No, we're giddy. We're giddy today.
No, you're allowed to laugh. You look great.
Thank you.
And then what else is going on? Oh, the one thing I did want to mention, too, this is not really roster related, but it's okay. Cubs related, is that yesterday the Cubs got their fourth prospect in the top 100. Kevin Alcantara, who they got for Anthony Rizzo, is now in the top 100. He joins Pete Crow Armstrong, he joins Brennan Davis, and he joins Christian Hernandez. And we're going to have a show probably maybe early next week or so where we really dig into all the Cubs prospects. We spend a half hour on it. But just to have another guy in the top 100, this is a kid with really high upside. He's one of my favorite prospects in the system, and it's nice to see him get some recognition.
And Alcantara was from the Rizzo trade.
Yeah, I just said that. I mean,
I'm really paying attention.
I mean, stop reading. There's no ads coming up right now. Just lock in on me, baby.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Yes, I was listening to you. I'm a good listener. What's that picture behind you, by the way? For the viewers on YouTube. The other thing I wanted to get to or just follow up on is, so Stroman pitched for the iCubs last weekend. Smiley pitched for the South Bend Cubs. I guess I'm having trouble understanding like why it's such an unknown about where their next appearance is going to be. Why is it taking so long? Did they throw a pen this week? Did they play catch again? Smiley was outstanding in his rehab start. Stroman, not as much. Obviously, they're building back up. What would be unique to me is them actually pitching in the same game. I know that's very unlikely, but against a juggernaut like the Dodgers, I wonder if that's something that they would try, especially if they are still on a little bit of a leash.
But I see what you mean. It's like pitch limits, opener.
Yeah, just almost do like a piggyback. If they're debating, yeah. Stroman might make another start in Des Moines, well, how about you just make the appearance at Dodger Stadium, but maybe making less pitches or something? I think Smiley is still going to have some pretty good trade value. I mean, if he comes back Saturday, that's going to be 3 or 4 starts until the deadline. That's huge for the team.
Yeah, we could wrap up by saying I don't know about that. I mean, you know, people love to say trade value, and we'll do 80 billion trade value shows.
Yeah, yeah.
We're about to do a segment on another trade value. But here's the thing. What are you going to – if Drew Smyly comes back – and by the way, Drew Smyly, before he got hurt, was an asset for the Cubs.
Yeah, he was.
We're talking about a very marginal return here. I mean, you could definitely see him on the move. I'm not saying you couldn't. But, I'm not going to be running around the block on a Drew Smyly deal here.
I got you.
So I'm not really too concerned over that. I think that's a little bit overblown. But it'll be an interesting – ooh, a little voice crack there. It'll be an interesting weekend in L.A., Matt. I really want to see Marcus Stroman back. I mean, he very right. similar to Seiya Suzuki. This is a guy that hopefully is going to be a part of the next great Cub ball club, and I want to see him get it back on track.
And then to put a bow on this, Madrigal, Schwindel, and Norris are all going to begin rehab starts with the iCubs beginning Thursday or Friday.
So I forgot about those guys.
Yeah, and that's easy to do, especially with the guys that are in there now. So we'll see how that impacts everything.
Nick Madrigal just hit a weak ground ball to third.
He did do that a lot. Not that it seemed like. We saw it with our own eyes. You know what else we saw with our own eyes today, Sam? The Cubs winning 2 out of 3 with the Brewers. And maybe you placed a wager on that game today, and you could have done that with the help of BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including all things baseball. Head to BetOnline.net or download the app to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And to start this third and final segment, Sam, Cubs Insider reported today that the Cubs intend to shop Ian Happ aggressively. There's a lot to get to with that. Where do you want to start?
Oh, did you hear your sound was a little off there? Did you hear that?
No, I hope I'm okay.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was just my connection there. You kind of went a little jagged there. Anyway.
Maybe it's my Wi-Fi.
No, everything's good. Fantastic haircut. Ian Happ.
By the way, Sam looks good too. I mean, he's
so this
all,
is
all
so don't patronize me. So this is this was actually a really interesting story. You sent it to me today.
Yeah.
I was under the impression. So I'm going into the trade deadline, Matt, with I would be shocked if Wilson Contreras was not dealt. He is going to be dealt. It makes all the sense in the world at this point. Even if you have interest in bringing him back, you haven't extended him yet, so you could bring him back in the offseason, which they probably don't, but even if they do, he's going to be traded.
Right.
David Robertson, going to be traded.
Yes.
Probably in the elk of the Chris Martin.
Givens,
those guys are going to be traded. I don't believe Hendricks is going to be traded. Happ is the really big question mark because he's got another year of control left. I do think he's going to want big money.
Okay.
And it's really tricky because Seiya Suzuki looks good right now, but he hasn't been around long enough availability-wise to where I wouldn't feel that comfortable if Happ is gone. Who's going to be, my corner outfield next year? It's not Velasquez yet. Well, you got to see more of him. Morel's probably earned himself a spot on next year's team, but, it's different playing every single day. And Happ does have his flaws, but he's been overall pretty productive this season. It'll be really interesting to see if they trade him. Before you sent me that article, I was guessing no, that they would hold on to Ian Happ. He'd be their starting left fielder next year, and then they'd play it out. But it's really interesting. I actually think because of the control situation, Ian Happ could bring back even a bigger return than Wilson Contreras. But I'm really saying a lot of nothing here because I don't know. You can make a great case on why you should trade him, but I think you can make a better case on why you should retain him. First of all, you still have to play baseball the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Second of all, if Brennan Davis were healthy and performing the way he was supposed to perform, and granted he got hurt, I think it'd be much easier to part ways with Ian Happ because Brennan Davis would be up right now. He'd be flashing, and it would look like he's going to be, on your opening day roster next year. But especially too with Ortega, people are talking about trading Ortega. If you trade Ortega and Happ, I mean, that outfield is going to look a little bit weird. Yeah, right. I mean, there's guys you can play. I just think
It'll be really interesting. If I were Jed Hoyer, which I'm not, he's much smarter than I. If I were Jed Hoyer, I would have to be blown away by the Ian Happ package to move on from him.
Totally. And if Ian Happ gets traded, I think that signals something that we don't want to see. You know, I would get a lot of trepidation, a lot of nervousness with the Happ trade. I understand where they're coming from, and they're absolutely selling high. He's had a great year. He's even improved defensively. He offers some versatility out there. You know, he's potentially an early to middle order bat for pretty much any club, but you would like to see him as a piece on a team that competes in 2023, especially because you have that year of control. Now, he just saw all his friends get traded. You know, they attempted to sign extensions with those guys. You know, that's been on the record, whether they gave low offers or not, that's up for debate. But, you know, he just saw all those guys go out the door. Within the next 30 days, he's going to see Contreras get traded. So Ian Happ is probably, he might have a little bit of trepidation himself. You know, where do I fit with this organization? You know, what offer could I get this offseason? You know, yesterday's episode, we talked about the shortstop market. You know, with the Cubs being as close as they are at times this year, that's been because of Happ or Suzuki or Horner. Those three pieces just on their own would be huge offensively going into 2023. Yes, you have to compose a lot of the roster still, but I just think trading Happ, it would really make me think about where this plan is going.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Is trading him not insurmountable?
I don't think it's insurmountable. It just depends what you get back. Nobody in the world is you know, off limits, untouchable. It's just, it depends what you get back. If they make a deal for Ian Happ and the return is two prospects that are 17, 18 years old that have high upsides like they got for Darvish, that wouldn't make sense to me because they've already replenished their farm system to where they don't need to make deals like that anymore. But if they trade Ian Happ and they get a guy, you know, that's double A, triple A, that has more control, that has a lot of promise, or they get a pitcher that they like or something along those lines, then yeah. I mean, you know, it just depends what they get back. I really believe going in the deadline, he is the most fascinating Cubs piece. Contreras is going. Right. Robertson's going. I don't think Hendricks is going. But Happ, I really truly don't know. I could see both arguments to it. You got to remember too. This is, you know, Ian Happ is having a nice year, but he also isn't having a year where he's putting it all together. I think he has like 8 home runs. You know, he's been good. I'm not saying he hasn't been good. I would take this any day of the week, but it's not, you know, people are acting like he's put together like an MVP campaign. He's been a solid corner outfield piece. And those don't grow on trees, as there's a fly here. So it'll be really interesting. Most of the time, I'll have a lot more conviction on what I think the Cubs should do. Sure. Like, I do think the Cubs should trade Wilson Contreras. I do. And we'll talk about that at a different time. But this one, I see both sides of it. If they pull the trigger, they better get a return worthwhile.
Absolutely. And we want to thank all the listeners for being a part of the journey with us so far. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Locked On Cubs on YouTube as we make the push to 1,000 subscribers, and follow along with us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. And remember, you can leave us a voicemail or drop us a text, 312-834-4634. Thanks for making Locked On Cubs your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up on Friday's show, all about Marquee. Excited to talk some media with all the Cubs fans, Marquee Sports Network, and a little bit more. That's coming up on Friday's program. For Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.